Hi, and welcome to MVA, the Microsoft Virtual Academy. My name is Jerry O'Brien, and I'm here with Paul Pardee today. We're going to talk about the MVA's 20 C-sharp questions explained. And again, these are the top 20 C-sharp questions that we've culled from different forums on the internet. And we're going to focus our next question, actually, this instance is number 5. And this question is about calling a base constructor in C-sharp. Now, initially, you might think about this as being not a complicated thing to do. If you're familiar with object-oriented programming, you know that we have base classes and we have subclasses that inherit from those base classes. And if we want to call the base class constructor for a specific reason, it's relatively simple to do. There's just a matter of calling it. And we can see an example here on screen where we have this inherit test is basically the constructor, if you will. So this is the first method that we'll look at. This is a constructor for the inherit test class, and the inherit test class will inherit from another class called test. We'll see that in the code here momentarily. And all we're doing is we're simply saying, hey, I have a value passed in called new name to my subclass's constructor, and I also want to provide that to my base class. So we had the little colon and we had the base, and then in parentheses we're passing that string value right back to the base class. And you'll see why this is important in a moment, because my inherit test class does not actually have the name variable that we're going to modify. It's the base class that has that. But the second method is one that's of a little more importance, and this is one that kind of spawned the question. And again, when we take a look at some of these questions, it may be some of the students out there asking for help on homework because an instructor has said, hey, you know how to deal with subclasses and inheritance, but we're going to throw a little bit of a wrench into the works here, and we're going to ask you to modify the value passed into the subclass constructor, and we need you to pass that modified value back to the base class. And so how do we do that, right? Because we can only call base and with the parentheses and simply pass that string value back to the base class. How do we make the change? How do we modify it? And you'll see that we deal with the kind of the way that C-sharp deals with the assignment right to left, and kind of the order of precedence, if we will, for assignments. That's how we'll work with that. So let's switch out to the demo, see what the code looks like. We'll talk about the two classes, and then we'll see how these two methods behave. So in Visual Studio, one of the first things we want to take a look at is our base class. So I've created a class called Test, and it's a simple class. There's not a whole lot of information in here. We have a public string variable called underscore name, and we've assigned nothing to it, so it's a blank string. And by the way, don't counter us on these not being very good or well-designed classes, because this is not a private member variable with properties for getters and setters. We're trying to keep the code as simple as possible, just so it's easier for you to see how we're explaining the topic. This is not good class design, is not intended to be. So again, don't shoot us because we have public member variables here. So we have, again, the important thing to remember is that this particular variable name exists only in the base class, and it doesn't exist in the subclass that we're going to create in a moment, and you'll see that. And in our base class, we have this method called public test, and this is our constructor, and we accept a string value called name, and we will modify that member name variable itself. I've put a virtual class in here called convert to upper, and the virtual class will actually be implemented or overridden, if you will, in our subclass. So let's look at that subclass. So inherit test is our subclass. And within inherit test, you can see that we are actually inheriting from the test class itself. And then we have our subclass constructor. And then we have this other one that's commented out. We'll talk about that one in just a moment. But what I want to focus on is the fact that our subclass, again, does not have that member variable name, right? It exists in our base class. But by the way of inheritance and object-oriented programming, we do end up with the name variable as a part of our subclass as well. Now, some folks initially think that, well, hey, all I have to do is in my subclass simply say base and pass in the new name, or pass in the name that's passed in. So here what we're attempting to do is call the base class constructor with a string value. You'll notice that as soon as I remove the comment, Visual Studio complains and gives us this little red squiggly that says you've done something wrong. And in this case, it says an invalid token base in the class struct or interface member declaration. What that means is this is illegal. We can't call the base method this way. The only way for us to call a base method is in the constructor of our subclass. So in this case, public inherit test string name. This is where we get the name variable passed in from the code, and this is where we call our base class. So this is the normal way of working with the base class. Working with the base class constructor. We will pass that same name variable back to the base class. And our constructor here doesn't have any implementation in the subclass. Now before I execute this, let's just pop out to our main program.cs file here. And all we're going to do in our class to call this, or in the program, is we're going to write out a blank line at first. It just provides some separation so it's easier for you to read. We're going to create a new instance of the test class called nTest, and we're going to call its constructor and pass in a value of base, just so that we can see when we write out nTest.underscore_name that we actually get the name value we passed into our base class. But then to see that it still works perfectly fine with a subclass, we have a subclass called inheritTest, and we've given it a name called iTest. And this is not an interface, so let's not confuse that. I should have renamed that a little bit better. But anyway, we're creating a new instance of the inheritTest, which is a subclass of our test class. And we're going to pass in a different name, in this case called newName. And the reason I'm doing this is just to simply show you that calling the constructor of our subclass with a value simply goes to our base class, provides the name value for that public variable that we created in the test class, and assigns that name to it. So in other words, the subclass is obviously a subclass or an instance of the test class, and we'll just see how the two different values display. So that means that we have a certain name value for the test class and a second name value for the subclass. Let's execute the code and see what it does. So Control F5 pops up, and sure enough, what it does is it tells us, and I just want to bring up the code so we see what we're doing here again. We can see as an example that we passed in base to our test class, so we do indeed have the base name in the test class. And then in our subclass, we passed in new name, and we do indeed print out new name for the subclass itself. Again, that's just the basic standard way of calling the base class method. That's all it is. So you're simply saying, I'm passing in the same value, nothing out of the ordinary, everything has happened as we expect it should happen. Let's take a look now at changing how the constructors are called in our subclass. So let's go back to the code. And in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually comment out that constructor, and I'm going to uncomment this constructor here. So we uncomment that, and now what we're going to do is we're going to provide a modified version of that name that we pass in. Now my code in my program.cs doesn't change, so we're still going to pass in base to the base class, and we're still going to pass in new name to the subclass. But what's going to take place this time is in the subclass, I want to modify. All right, I want to change that value before I call the base class constructor. This is the core of this question. This is where this question came from. So when the person asked this online, they got the standard answer, just base, you know, use the colon and the base and pass in the value. But then they come back and say, oh, sorry, I needed to clarify. I need to modify it. So this is kind of why we're going through this process, that you can't actually modify that value. Let's look at how we did this. So we still have our base, so we're still calling for the base, same as we did in the upper one, but this time what we're doing is in the parentheses, we're actually calling another method that exists in our subclass. So as I mentioned earlier, we focus on that order of precedence or order of operations and the right to left assignment that C# allows us to work with. And in this case, before we call the base class constructor, we actually call the modify base method. And in this case, modify base exists right here. It accepts a new name or a string value. And what it does is it says, I want to take that and I want to convert it to upper class. So that's just, it's a simple modification to that string. We return it back to our method name call right here, and then we pass that back to the base class. So now that we've made this change and uncommented this code, let's execute it again and see what happens this time. Control F5 one more time, and now look at what happened was, again, same thing. We called the base class or the constructor for the base class itself, passing base in, so we know that that worked perfectly fine. Only this time, we again, in the program main, we still passed in new name in the lowercase, so this hasn't changed. We still pass that same value. But in this case, the two upper, so the modify function changed it to an uppercase string and then passed it to the base class itself. All right, so that's the difference of what we actually saw within the class was how we called it right from here. So that solves question number 5. Again, it's relatively simple. If we're going to call the base class constructor is normal with no changes required to the value passed in, we use the standard C-sharp syntax of the colon, base, the actual keyword base, and in parentheses, the name of the value that we're passing in. But if we need to change it, then we have to modify our subclass a little bit to have that method that makes the change and causes that change to take place before we send it back to the base class method. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I actually noticed that you implemented one of the methods as a virtual. What does the virtual keyword actually do? What is the purpose of that? Do you need to use virtual in order to inherit that from the subclass?
So one of the things that we focus on with the virtual keyword, and the reason that I implemented that method as virtual, is because if we step back, let's pop just back into the code here for one quick second and take a look at our test class. I actually have public virtual void. So this is what Paul is referring to, is why did I use this public virtual void convert to upper in my base class and then actually work with that class. I had this commented out here. So what it was that we were actually doing in here, convert to lower or convert to upper. Essentially what's taking place is when we declare a virtual method in a class, and that's actually a question that's coming up a little bit later in the segment where we had somebody ask what's the difference between virtual and abstract methods. And what a virtual method is a method that you create in a base class that can be overridden in a subclass. So this is where this object-oriented programming concept of polymorphism comes in. We can create a base class with a certain functionality on a method, and then in our subclass, we can modify that behavior by overriding that virtual method. So that's basically where that comes from.
And as you said, we'll be talking a little bit more about that in a later session. That should be posted online, so you can view that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to see how that really works within the context of code, we'll cover that in the question on virtual versus abstract. So tune in for that one as well.